And so I turn the chair over here to next item on the agenda, and that's our foundation executive director, interim executive director.
Point of order, sir.
We proceed with the...
Are we going to approve the agenda?
For roll call for our board here before I turn it over to a public session. All right. Madam Secretary, would you take the roll call here? And please, as you go along here, just state your name for her and say you're present or not. This is the official start of the meeting. Go ahead.
Yoshi Yamanaka, KPFK, present.
Okay.
Mike Martin, KPFT, present.
Margaret Prescott, KPFK, present. Ifeah Wangaza, WMXP, present.
H.C. Bird, WPFW, present.
Ambrose Lane, WPFW, present.
Bob Lederer, WBAI, present.
Nia Bediako, present.
Lisa Davis, WBAI, present.
Rob Robinson, WPFW, present.
Wendy Schrell, KPFT, present.
Carolyn Burden, WBAI, present.
Grace Aaron, KPFK, present.
Joe Inzala, KPFA, present.
Evelyn Bethune, KPFT, present.
George Ryder, KPFT, present.
Jack Van Aken, KPFK, present.
Sherry Gendelman, KPFA, present.
Bonnie Simmons, KPFA, present.
I'm Sarv Randhawa from KPFA, present. We have a quorum, and Bob Lederer, are you present?
Yes, I said present.
All right, thank you. All right, so we have a quorum here, and we start our meeting, and the first item on the agenda is welcome and opening of the meeting with Dan Siegel, and our interim executive director, and that's 15 minutes. Go ahead, Dan.
Point of order. Point of order. On the proposed agenda, there was an election of pro tem chair.
That's a good idea, and thank you very much. And let's go there and elect our pro tem chair first, and then we can go back to Dan. So, well, I'll nominate Jan Van Aken for pro tem chair.
And,
any second to that?
Second.
All right, second to that. Any other candidates for pro tem chair for this duration till we elect our permanent chair?
Can I nominate Mike Martin?
Oh, no, that's a bad idea. no thanks.
Okay.
Any more candidates?
Yes.
I nominate Evelyn Bethune.
Okay, Evelyn Bethune is nominated for pro tem chair. Would you accept?
Cool, fine.
All right. So we have two candidates. Any more candidates for pro tem chair? None. Okay, so... we can either vote on it, or they, each one of the candidates can say why they want to be pro tem chair.
Be a tag team
what? What? Well, let's okay. Go ahead and each one of you say just maybe 1 minute, and then we can go take a vote. And why you want to be pro tem chair?
Sarv, may I speak on behalf of Jack Van Aken?
Jack Van Aken is here.
If he will defer his 1 minute to me.
Thank you. Jack is
there. Do this, and then that way it goes, we can move forward, and he can take it.
Okay, well, let's take a vote. Okay, that both candidates agree that you don't need to.
She just withdrew.
Oh, she's withdrawing. Okay. So one candidate withdrawn, so by unanimous claim then, Jack Van Aken, he'll be our pro tem chair for this PNB meeting. Thank you. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, thank you. Now, I don't have my Roberts Rules cheat sheet, so don't get too fancy on me. Anyway, thank you. Welcome to the Pacifica National Board meeting. We have a really full agenda. I think we're pretty far behind. First item is welcome and opening of meeting with our interim executive director, Dan Siegel.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
So I'm going to stand up and do this because it's really difficult having these two roles. So maybe I can distinguish between the two in my own mind by standing up in the role of interim executive director, which I will reiterate I'm honored to fill this role, and I'd be even more honored if you would select a full-time regular executive director as soon as possible, because although it's a lot of fun, it's also a lot of work. But I'm very enthusiastic about this meeting, and my sense is that you are all equally enthusiastic. And the reason I know that is because many of you have fought so hard to be here. And I'm sure that the reason you fought so hard to be here is so that you can help the Pacifica Foundation move forward and have the kind of impact that it should have in this society. And I keep thinking, you know, we talk about an organization dedicated to peace. So I would like to urge that the national board be dedicated to peace, and particularly peace among ourselves, because whatever disagreements we have are insignificant compared to our disagreements with the people who are running this society. You know, this country, and I'm getting older and older, and maybe that makes me more and more worried, but this country is in as bad a shape as it's been in since Nixon was president. I mean, we truly have a regime in Washington that is dedicated to perpetual war. They are dedicated to rolling back the rights that many of us fought for in the 60s and 70s for people of all races and ethnicities, for men and women, for people of different sexual orientations. They are rolling them back. They're doing it legally, politically, culturally. If you think about some of the issues that are taking place, and I see this in the court, where there is such hostility to claims for discrimination, and particularly claims for discrimination based on race brought by African Americans, it's because of the ideology of the ruling group, which claims that we have a colorblind nation, that equality has been institutionalized, and anybody who says different is whining and shouldn't be listened to. That is a cultural, political, ideological construct that is being foisted on the people of this country. At the same time, we're told that civil rights and liberties must be subordinated to the war on terrorism, and that our future as an ecological and environmental society must be subordinated to the quest for fossil fuel energy and big business. And finally, we have a regime which in many ways is like the Nixon regime, just in the crookedness, in the lack of public service, of the lack of public integrity of people in government. You know, it's one thing, in my mind anyway, to say that there are conservative people who have conservative political ideology and we happen to disagree with them. But it's another thing to say that we have conservative people who are simply out to line their own pockets and the public be damned and principle of any kind be damned. So, you know, I'm not running for president. So that political speech has a purpose. And the purpose is to reemphasize the importance of this institution. We are an institution that has the ability to make a serious impact on public opinion in this country. We can seriously impact how people think, what they know about, how they act politically. And I hope that we will all internalize that the way I'm attempting to internalize it into our judgments and into the way we spend our time. I mean, we just spent almost 2 hours, and I guess it had to be done because people want to be here so much. But we spent 2 hours talking about those things. Let's put that aside now. Let's talk about how to improve the network. And I want to say something. I drew up this agenda not knowing whether I was going to be IED. My wife says that's a terrible set of initials. That's what they call those roadside bombs, right, in Iraq. But I'm not a roadside bomb. I'm an interim executive director. But anyway, I tried to draw up an agenda not knowing whether I would be holding this seat at this meeting and still not knowing if someone else may walk in the door and say, hey, I'm here, I'm the executive director. But until that happens, I'm going to do my best. In constructing the agenda, and several of you, several staff people, several people on the board gave input, and I tried to incorporate that in terms of, you know, jiggering with the times in order to make sure that we had the biggest topic areas when most people are here. But the other thing I tried to do is this, and I hope people will agree, and if not agree, fine, we can do something else. But having now sat through five or six of these meetings, I've been distressed by the quantity of the items that we discuss and the lack of quality. So that we often, the practice has been at every meeting to have a report from every station and to have a report from every office within Pacifica. And so it was my thought that maybe we should adopt a new paradigm, and that instead of trying to have trivial conversations about everything, that we really try to have in-depth conversations about a few things. So first of all, we agreed that we would have a station focus on WBAI. And that's a very important conversation. WBAI is one of our most important assets. It has the greatest signal area, the greatest ability to impact public opinion in the New York metropolitan area. And I will say that our potential is a lot greater than our actuality. And so I'm hoping that one of the things we'll be able to do when we have that conversation is have a real engagement with the people from WBAI about what we can do to improve programming, to improve financing, to improve that station. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in my short time as interim executive director, and I'll tell you guys a secret. The secret is that while you argue about how many months of severance pay the former executive director should get, the staff makes all the important decisions about what's on the air and how it's on the air and so on. And if as a board you're happy with that, okay, then we can spend our time in these meetings arguing about the shape of the table and who sits at the table and leave it up to the staff to decide what the listeners hear. Now, I think the staff is great, by the way. One of the things I've also discovered in a few short months is how committed the staff is. And in a sense, this organization could continue. Right, it's another secret. If the board disappeared,
no.
You know? I mean, the staff would continue to run the stations, raise the money, develop great programming, put on the shows. That could be okay. But it could also be better if there's collaboration. Because the third thing I've learned is that the staff is easy. And when I mean easy, I mean easy to get along with, easy to work with. And I'll just say this, you know, because I think that Lonnie Hicks, for example, has been criticized, complained about by some people as not being a cooperative staff person. Well, I'll tell you, he's been completely cooperative with me, 100%. I mean, he not only cooperates with anything I ask him to do, he encourages me to ask him questions, you know, because I don't really know the ropes. And if we just approach people, and I'm not doing this to either pick on Lonnie or put him on a pedestal, but if we approach people as human beings with a common sense of values and ideas and goals here, you know, it turns out they respond. And I've had that experience with the station managers all across the network, with people in the national office, with the people in the national office in Brooklyn, and so on. So I don't think there should be a problem, a board staff problem in this organization. Let me get back to BAI for a second. BAI conversation is very important. As everyone knows, BAI has not had a regular general manager for several years. And the best thing that I've gotten to do in the few months I've been in this position is appoint an incredibly great guy whom you will meet tomorrow, Anthony Riddle, to be the general manager of WBAI. And let me tell you, this guy is dynamite. He is smart. He is politically adept. He is competent. He knows media. He's going to be a great leader at WBAI, and you'll have the privilege of hearing from him tomorrow, as well as from Bernard White, who has carried the ball there for I don't know how many years as program director and also done a great job in the face of a lot of nastiness, frankly, a lot of racism that I would describe, and distrust, when, again, my experience is with Bernard, he's not a hard person to work with. And Robert Scott Adams, who's been there as our interim GM, is, you know, despite not being chosen, has been incredibly cooperative and gracious, is going to work with Tony through the end of February so we have a smooth transition. So the three of them are going to be here tomorrow, talk about the future of WBAI, and I hope that we'll really engage, I mean engage in a serious, substantive level. I've done the same thing with respect to some of the department areas. When we're having conversations, you know, with Nicole Sawaya, one of the things that she really stressed is how much more we could do with Pacifica's web presence. And she talks about, and, you know, frankly, I'm not very good at this. I mean, I'm the other generation. I'm not downloading a lot of stuff on my iPod every morning so I can listen to it all day. But people are. I mean, you know, Dave Adelson is. So, you know, the question is, how can we improve the web presence? And I don't want this to be a debate. Do we like Pete Caracas? Do we not like Pete Caracas? That has nothing to do with it. The issue is, how can we do a better job on the web? So we have a conversation tomorrow. I've asked Pete to come in and make a presentation, spend some time. You know, one of the things I really look forward to with potential of Nicole being here was that she had a lot of ideas about that as well, and I thought that would be an interesting interchange. Apparently it's not going to happen, at least not tomorrow. But hopefully you will all do that. You'll listen to what Pete said. You'll think about what you like about the web. Are you more likely to follow another radio station or a TV channel onto the web and see what's there than you are to follow Pacifica onto the web? And if that's the case, what can we do to change that dynamic? I know several of the outgoing board members raised the criticism that we're not hearing from every department head on this agenda. And believe me, there's no effort here to insult the affiliates director or the archives director. We'll give them, you know, a full chance, hopefully one of them, at an upcoming meeting. So instead of a 15-minute, you know, conversation jammed in between this and that, we'll have 2 hours for them later on. So that's the way I've tried to set up the agenda. Obviously, we have to have substantial time on money because money's our biggest problem, and so we're going to have substantial time on that. In conjunction with the web, we're going to have digital distribution and give Rob an opportunity to talk about that tomorrow. And then finally, the conversation that I know people have been wanting to have for a couple of years, but we've been putting it off, we're going to have a good chunk tomorrow afternoon on diversity in Pacifica with a presentation by the committee to investigate racism and sexism in Pacifica. And again, an opportunity for conversation. That's really, you know, the conversation about us, but about us in a broader context. And the result of that should be that we figure out how to work together better and how to appreciate each other, how to accept each other. And if we can do that on this board, then maybe that can happen on the five station boards, and we can have a more productive, goal-oriented governance in Pacifica. So that's behind the agenda. I've got a lot of enthusiasm and energy for the next couple days, and let's have a good meeting.
Thank you, Dan. You really remind us of what a privilege it is to be here to serve Pacifica, to serve the progressive community. We need to remember that from time to time when we're getting too lost in the quantum world of governance and the minutiae of these maneuvers and interpretations of bylaws, which seem to consume so much time. I've spent so many hours on the KPFK election that I just really wonder how we can get anything done and look forward, but I think we just have to set our minds to it. Okay, speaking of privileges, I can't think of a greater privilege than to serve as Secretary Pro Tem for today. Are there any nominations for Secretary Pro Tem? Bob.
Yes, I nominate Kiana Bell, who's the person who graciously agreed to come here for the weekend and employ her secretarial skills so that we have a good, solid record of the weekend.
Yeah, I second that.
I third that.
Okay, Kiana Bell, do you accept the nomination? Is there any effort underway to get a laptop or we can rent or borrow? Or?
Well, we've asked around. Well, we can ask again now if there's anyone in this room who would be willing to.
Okay, thank you very much. George Ryder is going to make the generous contribution of loaning his laptop as soon as he gets it down from his hotel room. Okay, well, we're doing great on a couple of these items. terms of time. The next agenda item, now let me make a note of what time it is right now. Okay, it's 11:28. We're scheduled for 2 hours for board member orientation, and we're scheduled for lunch at 12. I'm wondering, is this something where we need to have the hotel hold up on lunch? I mean, are they going to be serving it to us? So does someone need to notify them? Okay, thank you. Dan, could we make it an hour and a half, maybe 90 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, make it 1 o'clock?
We can make it an hour.
Okay, we'll shoot for 1 o'clock, just being realistic. Okay, so this agenda item is board member orientation, and it's going to be presented by Dan Siegel. Dan?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Bob.
What accidentally seems left off of here is approval of the agenda?
Yes, approval of the agenda hasn't been included in the agenda. So
right, I'm suggesting we address that right now.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, approval of the agenda. Sherry?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Is there a second? Any discussion, any amendments to the agenda? Lisa?
I have an amendment.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I think I have such a loud voice. I'm normally good at yelling at demonstrations without microphones. I would like to propose for Saturday, January 26th, that we move the WBAI portion, which is scheduled to be in the morning, from what I can tell, that we move it to the evening after 7 o'clock. I just happen to know that tomorrow during the day, there's a lot of important events that are going on, some of them pertaining to the discussion of media and the role that it has. I know that these people would like to be here to be able to participate. I think we can have much more participation in the evening because a lot of people are very interested in what's going on in WBAI, and that we could have more people there if we do that in the evening. So I respectfully ask that we move it to after 7 o'clock to maximize participation. And also, one of the things that's going on, because I know one of the events that they are having tomorrow, and they've been planning this for a while, is a big event in New York about the issues of media and diversity and things that we need to do. And one of the people that was asked to participate was Bernard White on this very on this issue, but it's going on in the afternoon tomorrow. So if we could move it in the evening, I think that would be much. I think that would be time better spent. Thank you.
Second.
Yeah.
After 7
maybe
o'clock.
Dan can speak to this since he developed the agenda, but it seems that that would require a lot of moving around of many people's schedules.
I'm sorry. I propose that we move it to. It's really be just a switch. Hopefully it won't be too involved with people's schedules, hopefully, but I know we have to be respectful of that. But if we move WBAI to after 7, and maybe we can move the Pacifica and the web discussion and the digital distribution in the place of WBAI, and we can even, you know, if we have to extend something half an hour in the evening or whatever, I think that would be worth it.
You know, I don't think that's a problem. Someone would just have to take responsibility. Because, Rob, is that a problem for you to switch places in the agenda? Uh-huh. You've got one piece.
Where am I going from?
You're going to do it like at 10 or
something. The proposal was to switch the WBAI discussion, which is in the morning tomorrow, to the evening, and then put Pacifica and the web and digital distribution in the morning.
I'd really prefer doing it later on, but you can... that if that's what the body would like to do.
You know, the advantage is people will be more awake.
and you have a major...
But, you know, the big problem, if someone... I don't have personally any problem. Someone would need to get in touch with Bernard, Robert, Anthony, and Pete.
Right.
Because in order to make sure we can do this, I don't have any problem with it, but that's some phone calls that someone's going to have to make.
Sherry?
Can we approve the agenda subject to in the alternative or the way it is subject to whether or not the individuals who would be making the presentation are available at the proposed time?
Margaret, do you have a comment?
Yeah,
just had another question in another area of the agenda. So
let's wait. Let's deal with this. Well, we could say tentatively we'll reschedule. We'll switch the BAI station focus with the two items in the evening, pending that we can get confirmation from Robert Scott Adams, Bernard White, Anthony Riddle, and Pete Caracas that's okay with them, that they can do it. Because there's no point in changing the agenda in such a way that something won't happen altogether if we don't know that that's possible. I mean, I don't know what Pete is doing tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning. So that's the only hesitance I have in switching the agenda around this way.
He probably hasn't even seen it this way yet.
Yeah.
Right? Dan just did it this morning.
Yeah, well, that may or may not be. We don't know. So what I can say is, you know, we'll make an effort to make this change, but we really don't seem to have the knowledge at this moment to make this change. So maybe if there's consent from the body, we can say that tentatively we'll try to switch these two around, but we may not be able to do it. Is there any opposition to that proposal? Okay, Margaret, state your point.
Yes, on the agenda, I just want to make sure that in both the executive session as well as the public, or perhaps something reported out to the public session, Dan made reference to Nicole Sawaya that the board has been in discussions with her return as ED. So that's sort of something hanging over our heads, and I just want to make sure that I'm sure we'll be discussing it under personnel in the executive session, but I also think there needs to be part in the public session where perhaps something is reported out from that discussion, but I just think that the public at this point has some right to know exactly what is going on with Nicole Sawaya. I also want to make sure that under the personnel issues, I understand from Lydia Brazon, who was involved with the personnel committee, that proposals on some redrafting, some language on the job descriptions were tabled and to be discussed at this particular meeting. And I'd like to make sure that that happens and that's also a priority. And I guess I'm asking for clarification if that discussion is to happen in executive session, as I imagine it would, under personnel issues as well. I just want to make sure that that is addressed.
Just on that, Jack, if I may?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Margaret, those are what we thought we were going to be talking about during the executive session this afternoon for 2 hours, and then there's open session for reporting out on both of those topics Sunday.
Okay, and also that any the drafts of those job descriptions that hopefully, I know Lonnie has seen it and hopefully other members of the board, either have been sent them or they will be made available to them so the board would have time to take a look at it and consider it. And also the motions that were passed in relation to the ED return or not directly related to the ED return but peripherally, which I did put a set of motions together and sent them around and just want to ask the board to take a look at them and make sure that the new members of the board, I didn't have their email addresses, that all members of the board get those motions so that when we're having this discussion, everyone is informed.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that possible to get that stuff out to members of the board who haven't received it?
These are motions that Lonnie had circulated?
No, they're two things. They're drafts of job descriptions.
Drafts of job
descriptions. That I think Dominga sent on as one thing related to the job descriptions. And the second thing were a set of motions passed by the board, including a meeting we had Friday night and previous meetings, related to Nicole Sawaya. And another one that was passed related to some of the forward-looking actions, I think a four-part motion that I moved and was passed without objection by the board. I just would like to make sure that new members of the board have all of those motions and have that information. So there are two sets of documents I'm talking about. One set are motions, and the other set are job description updates, I suppose.
Okay. Margaret, would you be willing and able to collect those at least identify which ones specifically? Because I remember getting a lot of that.
Yeah, I've already done that and had asked the board to just make any corrections on dates, because we had so many meetings, I started getting a little lost with the dates. But they wouldn't need to be either emailed or printed out. And I don't have the capacity to do that because my email is down, so that new members of the board also have this information.
So you don't
now,
have...
Now, on the job descriptions, I'm sure Dan or somebody, I mean, Dominga did send them around to, I know, Dan and a number of other people in the small group that the board had appointed to have some discussions with Nicole. So somebody needs to print them out or email them or some way, and... I don't have the capacity to email because I can't get my computer to work.
Okay, we'll try to get them printed out. Wendy?
It seems like it would be really helpful. What everybody's running into is that we don't have all the new members' addresses. Some people do, some people don't. If we could maybe ask our executive director to instruct the webmaster to add the new people to the PNB lists, like now, then... a lot of this would be easier. And I just have to say that I've been on the board a long time, and I don't have all those documents in one place either. So we need to know what we're doing.
Okay, and we need to confine ourselves maybe to the agenda at this point. Effia?
Along with the updated or revised job descriptions to which Margaret makes reference, could we also have copies of the current job descriptions?
Current job description. Yeah, I'm not sure how soon we can get all of this documentation. It may take a while.
Point of information?
Yeah, Margaret.
My understanding is the way Dominga did it with the job descriptions is that it's basically the current job description. I mean, it's not a whole rewriting of the job descriptions. And what she did is she just highlighted changes or proposed changes to the job description so that the document will have the original job description highlighted with some amendments or changes.
Okay. Do we have any proposed amendments to the agenda? Nia?
Could I just piggyback on what Effia just said? I'm also new, and I think that I would like to have a copy of the existing ones so I could see what I'm comparing with, because others have the advantage of knowing what they're comparing. So maybe somebody in the foundation should have that.
Are we talking specifically about the ED CFO issue? Specifically about ED and CFO. We're not talking about the GMs necessarily.
Yes. ED CFO.
ED CFO. Okay,
the existing,
great. Evelyn.
Two things. I have those in my email, and I can pull them up back here and print them if we want to do that.
That would be great.
Okay, I'll do that. And also, I just got off a call with Nicole, and if we can, in the executive session, she would like to for us to like get her on the phone or include her in that dialogue when we get to that.
Okay, so you'll get Nicole on the phone during executive session
if we desire that.
Okay,
point
thank
of
you
information,
very much. Margaret?
Do we have the technological setup, or is there anything we need to ask the hotel to do that would afford a speakerphone in here or some method? I don't know what the technology would be that would allow us to do that.
Well, we can talk to John Almelo about that maybe. No, he says no. We can ask the hotel. Okay, great. Bob?
Two things. Just to get back to something Margaret mentioned earlier about the job descriptions on the agenda, what the board voted about a month ago was to postpone that matter to this meeting in public session.
That's right.
So there's that is not a topic that's appropriate for executive session. So that's on that point. Then I just wanted to point out that in preparation for our election on Sunday morning of the members of each committee, I asked our outgoing secretary, just as a favor, if she could make up these blank forms that we could fill out today and tomorrow to prepare ourselves for who wants to run for what committee. So I have a copy I can pass around. So there's one director from each of the five signal areas, and one of the two affiliate directors can be on every committee. So if people just fill in if you're interested in running, and then we'll know. Some of them will be contested, some of them will be uncontested. Up to all four of the people from each signal area could nominate themselves if they want, or just one or two or three. But anyway, I'll pass this around and people can fill it out at their leisure and I guess give it back to Jack as a as the pro tem chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Bob. Sherry.
I'd like us to vote to approve the agenda with the proposed amendments. I call the question.
Margaret, you're shaking your head.
Yes, simply because of what Bob just raised, and I think Bob is absolutely right, that that is supposed to be a public session agenda item, and right now it is under that, going back to the job descriptions of the ED and the CFO, right now it's under executive session, so we do need to find a place then in the public session where it could be. Is it there already?
Yeah, it's on Sunday, Margaret, under open session, unfinished business.
That's a report only.
Is that our next public session?
No, not the next.
It's not our next public session, but it's on Sunday's agenda.
Yeah, you know, if it's possible that that agenda item can go on tomorrow as opposed to leaving it until the last day on Sunday and risking perhaps that it not be addressed, I would really move that it be addressed at the earliest possible public session, likely not today because people will need time to take a look and study those documents, but I really think it's a mistake to leave that item until Sunday. It has already been tabled before. It's a crucial and very important issue, and I think that it should be on the agenda on Saturday. And then if we have to return to it and finish up any things on Sunday, that we do that.
Second. Well, Mike?
I just seconded Mark's
question. Oh, okay. Well, what about adding it to the public session this evening? Is that too soon? Too soon?
Yeah,
too soon. All right. So we'll make it Saturday.
You know, we could try, but I mean, Saturday is so jammed up. I just, you know, if we're going to discuss the web, if we're going to discuss finances, going to discuss BAI, I mean, these are all important topics, and I hope people will just maintain attention and discipline through Sunday so we can discuss important items Sunday as well as today and tomorrow.
Okay, Wendy.
You know, looking at Sunday, it's got committee report. Well, first of all, I was going to say this thing we're talking about, unfinished business, ED and CFO job descriptions, should certainly come before new business because that's just the way Robert says to do it. But what are the committee reports? We're about to form new committees. Do we really need committee reports? Is that must be something specific. Some committee has a motion?
I think there are a few reports, not a lot.
I would just move to strike those committee reports.
Well, someone who has a committee report may not like that.
Margaret, what about if we move the unfinished business item up to the beginning of Sunday morning's public session? That way we won't have this conflict with the dicey Saturday schedule, and it will be the first item of business Sunday morning, 9 a.m.
I appreciate the board and the chair and the IED trying to accommodate moving up this item, and I would be quite prepared to, you know, just for purposes of moving us forward to do that. But I would really like to remind the board that this is a very serious and central issue to a lot of things in terms of this board moving forward. It is not, I mean, Dan, you said we're dealing with a lot of important things on Saturday. This is extremely important to the foundation. And I don't know how you could prioritize and say, well, this is less important than any of the items on Saturday. They're all important. And everybody who certainly was on the old board, new board members might not know this, but you know, this is an issue I'm sure Lonnie is concerned to get settled in terms of support for the CFO. The new ED, pending ED, Nicole Sawaya, is anxious to get that settled, and I'm sure anxious to work with Lonnie in getting it settled. This is a central issue, and we all know that. You know, so let's not, you know, pussyfoot around and act as though it's not. So let's give it the focus, the priority, and the time that it needs. I think it's only fair to Lonnie. I think it's only fair to any pending ED we have coming in that we have proper time to discuss and settle this matter at this meeting. I would hate to see a discussion begun on Sunday and then be tabled again to another, another meeting. And people are kind of, floating around. I don't think it's a major problem. I think once we see the documents, we could really move forward in a good way. But we really need to prioritize it and give the time. So if we could be assured that on Sunday we will address this issue, we're not going to get into, motions and rules and whatnot that'll extend it as this board has a habit of doing, and this issue is not addressed, and we are yet again in some kind of limbo about those relationships that are so vital to this network, I would think that would be a problem.
Well,
in other words, if we could deal with it on Saturday, I would appreciate it. But if not at all, and we go to on Sunday, I just want to put the whole board on motion, on notice, that we're really going to have to deal with it on Sunday.
Well, I'll entertain a motion to move the ED and CFO public job description item to the first order of business on Saturday at 9 a.m.
So moved.
Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. Saturday. Yes. Yeah, Lonnie? Uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen the job descriptions. and some of the ones that have been changed, there's two or three floating around. So at this point, it's difficult to know which specific job description we're talking about and the changes being proposed by whom. Some changes have been proposed, as I understand it, by two or three different people. I need time to look at it.
Okay.
And so I would not be ready to be looking at it by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I think that Sunday does make sense if we make it a certain agenda item. I don't think you can prejudge the board's intent and motions and say the board must finish anything. I think that's premature. The board will do it in its own time and way, but I think that to agendize it to a time certain is appropriate, and we should do that. But I would go with Sunday. I would not be ready tomorrow morning.
Okay. Afia?
I would join in that same position. As a new board member, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen the existing descriptions, not to mention the proposed ones. And I think, given the significance of the decision to be made, that Sunday morning is clearly more appropriate and gives adequate time to resolve any discrepancies.
Okay, I'm going to call on Carolyn, and I think we need to go to a vote on this. Carolyn?
Yes, I thank you for the understanding that new members have not seen all these, but I wonder if we couldn't move something to a different time, and I'm thinking that perhaps the Pacifica and the web presentation on Saturday at 7:15, perhaps that could be moved to Sunday, and we could free up that time to discuss this. That would give us all day Saturday to deal with the new material and information. Pete Krakus is local, so we're not talking about a plane flight being delayed.
Well, we're tentatively moving that web discussion to earlier anyway, and switching that with the BAI presentation, so that gets a little complicated. Mm-hmm. I think there might be more moving parts than we could handle. So I think I think we're heading towards moving it towards early Sunday. We do need to elect committees Sunday morning. Is there a motion to have the ED and CFO job descriptions, which are under unfinished business, moved up Sunday morning, say, ahead of committee reports?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to doing so? Okay, hearing no objection, we'll move the unfinished business item to the first order of business Sunday morning. Are there any other amendments to the agenda? Is there Bob?
Yes, I would like to propose moving this afternoon, what is now listed as this afternoon's discussion of Pacifica elections, 90 minutes, to tomorrow afternoon between the finance and the diversity discussions. And I note that the public session is listed here as 1 to 6, which is a five-hour block, but the two items within it are only a four-hour block, so that there's actually an extra hour there anyway. So this would just be adding half an hour, which, you know, to make it a 90-minute discussion of the elections. Of course, that's assuming that Casey Peters is available.
Has he gone out of the room, apparently?
And with good reason.
Well, it's another item where we can only do that tentatively, pending Casey's availability.
Right.
So why don't we leave it at that? But, and I'll give the board my assurance that I'll try to accommodate that change if there's no objection to it. Is there any objection to tentatively moving the election report into the public session tomorrow afternoon?
Excuse me?
Dan?
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I know, you know, Saturday's prime time, I guess. People aren't here today, and by Sunday they're leaving. We have a three-day agenda, and we cannot adequately have these conversations all tomorrow. And if we, you know, I'm assuming people don't simply want to listen to the reports and make a few comments. The election, this election has been extremely problematic. I really would urge the board to devote quality time to it. I don't believe we have the capability of devoting quality time tomorrow afternoon to the finance issue, the diversity issue, and the election issue, and getting them all done adequately. And that's why I tried to spread some of the media issues around. I mean, if people want to do it, that's fine, but I think the quality will suffer.
Okay, we have an objection to the letterer proposal. Is there anyone who wants to weigh in on this item? I don't believe there's been a motion that's been seconded. Bob?
Well, I just wanted to motivate it briefly, and I'm very sensitive to Dan's concern, and he's right. There is a risk that, you know, too many things jammed in, something may suffer. But the elections in particular have been, because they've been so filled with problems, have generated a lot of concern among listeners, and particularly given the lawsuit and all the issues here at WBAI, there's WBAI listeners, so I know are going to want to hear what Casey Peters says and hear what the board says. And most people work 9 to 5 on a Friday, and that's the problem. It's simply a matter of when more public scrutiny will be available to discuss that topic. And I know that could be said for anything on our agenda, but this is a topic that's especially, you know, of a lot of deep concern right now among the WBAI listenership.
Okay, is there a motion on the letter of proposal?
So moved?
Yeah. Is it seconded? Okay, is there any objection to moving the election report pending Casey Peters' availability?
What
state your point, please, George?
Yeah, Casey has it.
Does the motion include what we're going to put in the time slot this afternoon? And if so, what?
Oh, Casey's here. Casey.
Available all day today and tomorrow.
You're available tomorrow. Okay. All right. Is there any objection to moving the election?
Sorry, I have a point of information. I'd like to know what he plans to put in this hour and a half.
Do it on the microphone.
Well, I can.
I may have missed that because I was out.
Well, we're running at least 2 hours late, so that time will be filled with the extended agenda. Yeah. Wendy?
Just as a practical matter, couldn't we switch the diversity and Pacifica discussion to the day before and do the elections right there?
Yeah, you know, this is just getting, you know, way beyond. Nobody can. I mean, it's impossible to keep track of all of this at this point. So I really think I entertain a motion to approve the agenda as currently amended.
So moved.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, the agenda as amended is approved. And now we can move on to the next order of business, which is board member orientation. Dan Siegel.
Okay, let's see if I can do this in 2 minutes. We'll get caught up here. No, but I will try to do it quickly, and I have my general counsel hat on. So, and most of you, I think maybe all of you have kind of heard a version of this presentation because it was done for the national board last year and for all the local station boards. So this should not be news to most of you. So let me try to cover what I think are the critical points and open up time for conversation about it. You know, just on basic structure, I said this earlier, California nonprofit corporation code is the highest level authority for the actions of Pacifica, because Pacifica is a nonprofit corporation that is organized in California and is subject to the code. Now, under the code, in terms of its level of importance regarding Pacifica's governance, are our bylaws. And our bylaws are a document that is, number one, authorized. I'm sorry, I'm kind of being distracted. Thank you. The bylaws are authorized under the California Nonprofit Corporation Code, and in many cases simply incorporate provisions from the code and bring them into our bylaws. In the event that there would be a conflict between what the statute says, that is the California Nonprofit Corporations Code, and Pacifica's bylaws, then the code would prevail in any lawsuit. An interesting question, for example, arose yesterday in court in New York. Someone said, well, is the California law binding on the New York court? And the answer is yes, because you know, there are all these doctrines in the legal system about choice of law and governance and so on. Pacifica can be sued in New York State because it's doing business here in the name of WBAI. But it's still the California Nonprofit Corporation Code, although then you get into something which is kind of interesting, and I know there's a lot of people on the board who are very legally oriented. You get into something that we learned about in law school called the Erie Doctrine. And under the Erie Doctrine, when law from another state is being followed in a different state, in other words, California law in a New York court, the New York court has to follow substantive law of the other state, but not procedural law. So within the corporations code, there may be procedures set out about how quickly court proceedings have to be resolved and things like that. That would not be binding on the New York court, but the rules having to do with what the law is are binding. So enough of that. One of the points that I think is really critical, and I, you know, people might accuse me of having a hidden interest in making this statement, and perhaps that's true, so I'll just say it up front, is that this board is all-powerful in terms of Pacifica. It is the body that makes all decisions and, frankly, has the authority to make any and all decisions, such as what color should the desks be at the WKPFA radio studio. But the reality of it is that this board is a policy board. It is entrusted with choosing certain leaders of the organization, specifically the executive director, the CFO, the attorney. It's responsible for choosing those three people. It's responsible for adopting a budget. It's responsible for approving all contracts. It's responsible for making policy. And it's not my place to tell you what to do, but I urge you to really be the policy board, because, as I said earlier, if you don't make policy, other people will. Your staff will make policy. And it may be the policy you want them to make, or it may not be. But if you abdicate, clearly someone else will do it. And on the other hand, if you take this role seriously, you will be sure that that's really what you're spending your time doing. I won't repeat what I've simply copied from the bylaws, excuse me, into this handout I did, but it lists, you know, in quite detail all the specific powers and duties of this board, And they're very broad, and they're very powerful. You then get, of course, to the LSBs, because most of you are also local station board members and are active in your local stations. And the local station boards, and this is something, again, that needs to be, you know, clearly understood, and that's why I repeat it, is that the local station boards are committees, standing committees of the national board, and therefore are subordinate to it. And I know that people have raised, and it's come up in an interesting context, or a couple of interesting contexts, the issue regarding what happens when the local station board members are meeting as delegates. Okay, and the idea has been advanced, and apparently there is some tradition in Pacifica, is that if a meeting is announced as an LSB meeting, it can only do LSB business, and it cannot do delegate business. And maybe, again, that's been the practice. I don't see anything in the law, or in my opinion, common sense, which requires that. Members of local station boards also wear the hats as delegates. And some members of local station boards are not delegates. But there is no legal reason why meetings cannot be announced that include on their agendas both LSB and delegate business. As long as it's on the agenda, there's not a problem. Of course, if it's not on the agenda, it is a problem. But I know that sometimes local boards have had quorum issues, and delegate meetings have had quorum issues, and perhaps if they were fewer meetings and these responsibilities were combined, it would be easier to get a quorum and get the business done, as long as the agenda is clear. The local station boards have specific activities, but they also have other roles and responsibilities. Specifically, they have the roles and responsibilities that the national board may give to them. Let me give you an example, because it came up this morning. There may be issues involving elections or charges against people that could be brought either to this board or to a local station board. There may be good policy reasons, but again, it's a policy of this board to encourage and even to require that before complaints are brought to this board, they first be brought to the local station board. And, you know, in the limited time that I've been around, I've seen both. I've seen disciplinary accusations against local station board members brought to this board before they've been brought up at the local level, and I've seen it done the other way. And it's something that you might want to consider in terms of a policy. There's no legal reason why you couldn't, if you wished, require that the charges be brought first at the local level and then to the national level. Or you may want to get more complicated and decide that certain charges should be brought to the national level immediately. But again, that's something just to consider, because there's an uneven practice in the organization, and perhaps something can be done about it. You know, the local station boards have a lot of authority that, in my view, they often do not exercise. And one of these is the budget authority. The local station board, and when I talk about the role of the CFO in a minute, you know, we can talk about how these things fit. But, you know, the local station board really does have the obligation to approve the budget. And that doesn't just mean yes or no on what the national board decides. It really means be involved in the process. And that may mean, you know, additional conversations with the CFO. It may mean having a very active local finance committee that works with the CFO and meets with the CFO, so that when the budget comes to a local station board, it's not just a bunch of numbers where you vote up or down, but it's something that really represents your consideration. Because budget determines priorities. You know, if you think there's some kind of programming that you really want to have on your station that you don't have, well, that's a budget issue, right? So, you know, at the beginning of the year, you think about, well, we need you know, another 100,000 or 150,000 to do this programming that we really think is a priority. And I would urge you to think that way as you make your plans, because that's the way in which you can have a really big impact, not only on your station, but on your listening audience. Now, we've had an argument at one of our stations about the process of GM selection. And what our bylaws does, and there are a lot of issues with the bylaws, and I hope this board will really have an active committee that will work with me and perhaps other people on staff to look at the bylaws and figure out what can and should be changed. But as they exist, they're really pretty good if you like the idea of shared governance. I mean, what we really have in Pacifica is a system of shared governance. It's somewhat cumbersome, it's somewhat difficult, but it does mean that you don't have any dictators in the organization, at least any that are allowed to be dictators, if people stand up for their rights. And GM selection is really important here. I mean, when you have a GM vacancy, as we currently have at two stations, including one for a long time, at KPFA, what has to happen is there has to be an agreement reached between the LSV and the executive director on choosing someone. So the bylaws say that the LSV has to come up with a pool of candidates. And the bylaws say that the executive director can only choose from the pool of candidates that the local station comes up with. So both sides, in a sense, have some veto over the other. Now, a situation came up at A where the LSV recommended, came up with a pool of one. And several of us, and I won't, you know, I don't want to be blamed completely for this, I seem you're sitting here, you get blamed for everything. Nicole Sawaya, Dominga Estrada, Lydia Brazan, who was chair of the board personnel committee, and I had a meeting, and we all agreed that one does not a pool make. And we had, you know, we didn't have a hard line on whether two's a pool. My own opinion, three's a pool. But if it's two, there might be room for compromise. But we, you know, that's something, there's nothing more critical than having a GM who you feel comfortable with. And yet sometimes the local station boards seem very slow about engaging in that process. And it was real slow at WBAI for a long time until we just finished the process. You know, and they did a great job. I would say, you know, the LSB at WBAI got a lot of candidates. A lot of them were pretty good. They came up with a pool of three excellent candidates who were fully qualified to hold the position. And then we had a choice. And so there the system worked well. And the result of that is you get a general manager who has the confidence of knowing that he or she is supported locally and nationally, and then get moving on things. And I think that's, you know, really one of the weaknesses in the organization is if we have interim GMs, because an interim GM, just like an interim ED, is by definition weak. I mean, a person could be removed, you know, any day for any reason. And so they're not going to provide the leadership that you want from a GM in making your station work. So, you know, there are these authority of the LSB that shouldn't be ignored, nor should the authority of doing a written evaluation of the GM or to fire a GM. But again, to fire a GM, you need the executive director's approval. An LSB cannot fire a general manager. An LSB can recommend that a general manager be fired. And then that's up to the executive director. So, let me say something in this context about staff. And, I'm not saying this from the point of view of weighing in on the conversations that we're having with Nicole. I'm saying this from the point of view of urging people to actually look at what the bylaws say, because we almost have legends in Pacifica, you know, that we all think this is what the bylaws say when they really don't say it. And so let me point that out in terms of the executive director, because there's no doubt if you look at the bylaws that the executive director is already in charge of the network's finances. Now, you know, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, and it has nothing to do, in my opinion, with whether someone likes Lonnie or doesn't like Lonnie, it's simply what the bylaws say. The bylaws say that the executive director has general supervision, direction, control of the business and the officers of the foundation, and primary responsibility for implementing the directives, decisions, and policies of the foundation and the board pertaining to administration, personnel, programming, financing, and public relations. So if the board adopts a budget, and the budget includes X dollars for programming and so many other dollars for personnel, it's the executive director's job to make sure that the money is spent for that purpose. It's the executive director's job. It's not the CFO's job. You don't have to change the bylaws to, you know, to change that reality, because the reality is already very clearly stated there. Now, the job of the CFO is to make sure that the money is in order. That's what the job of the CFO is to make sure that the books are kept, that the business transactions are transparent, and to report to the board. The job that the CFO has, which is independent of the executive director, has to do with his or her relationship to this board. And again, some people may disagree about whether this is a good idea or a bad idea. I happen to think it's a good idea. And it's consistent with what you see in not only nonprofit organizations, but especially public agencies.